Greetings, Tejo Benedict here with my man Viz, and we're back to talk about NBA. I wanted to get his thoughts. I've been harassing him, trying to find him, bringing him down. He's gambling, he's playing cards, he's winning big money. I just want to get his thoughts on the NBA Summer League, more specifically Lonzo Ball, because I've got some hot takes on this guy, and I'm really interested to see what Viz has to say. He's always breaking it down, and then we're just going to go over some other Summer League talk. I also wanted to touch on the Carmelo situation, what's going on with Houston. It looks like there's a great shot he ends up there. Viz is going to break down for us. I'm going to give you my opinion. This is Razzball.com. This is the podcast. Let's go.
Viz. I'm excited, Dale. It's good to be back.
Glad to have you back. It's been a little, the communication's been a little off. I've been traveling all over the country. People are dying. People are sick. I don't know what's going on anymore. My life's in disarray, but I'm getting back down, grounded to earth. Shout out Gray at Razzball, Rudy at Razzball, my heroes. Good to be back with you. How's the cards coming? How's everything going with you before we pop this off? Tell us where to find you. Tell us what to do, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah, everything's going pretty well. I mean, I was in Vegas for a couple of weeks. We talked about that in the last podcast with Sun. Tournament series starts up in Niagara Falls close to me tomorrow. So after today, for the next 10 days or so, will be a lot of tournaments. So hopefully I have some run good and things go well. Excited to talk about some basketball. It's the most discussed summer league in history by far. And it's, you know, part of it is just it's been growing and growing. But the other part of it is this rookie class is just unbelievable at the top.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed watching the summer league. I usually don't pay quite as much attention, but really excited about some of these young players and the situation they're currently in. Like who impressed you the most? Like, give me your top maybe 3-4 guys who just like maybe outshined what you were expecting, maybe went to another level, or just kind of shocked you and you're like, whoa.
As far as the shock goes, Kyle Kuzma would probably be the first guy that comes to mind. He went late in the first round of the Lakers, but he looked like a perfect fit in the way they want to play offensively. I didn't really see much of him in college playing at Utah, but I think, you know, at least in a deep league or a dynasty, it could be someone who ends up being the power forward of the future there. It's unclear what they're going to do with Randall. Odds are they're probably going to cut bait with him in the summer just to try to clear the cap space to hope to get LeBron or whoever to come there. So he's an interesting guy. That was a bit more off the radar. Donovan Mitchell looked incredible. He's, as a Jazz fan, he's the guy who's eventually going to have to try to replace Hayward, which is a ridiculous ask. But he's got a ton of skill. The steals could be elite right off the bat. He's going to play now. And most notably, it would be Lonzo and Dennis Smith, who we talked about on the last podcast that Son and I both loved. And now I feel even, you know, better about that. Smith, I assume he's going to be a guy who is targeted a lot in drafts now because he played out of his mind and looks, you know, perfect running the pick and roll. But I think the hype is really deserved. I mean, he's got the upside to be the best player in this draft. I don't necessarily expect that, but the steals are going to be great off the bat. Assists, I mean, everything really except, you know, no blocks and, you know, the shooting percentage might be a little poor. But him and Lonzo, you know, after Lonzo's first game, he looked incredible. And those are the two guys, I think, at least for this year in fantasy, that I think will have the most value. Fultz, it's hard to say how the ball is going to be going around in Philly, but things are going to go through Lonzo and Smith and in LA and Dallas respectively. So, and those are the two guys that really stood out to me is just, I think they're better NBA players than college because the spacing is just perfect for them.
Yeah. Dennis Smith, how does a man like this fall to 9? I mean, this guy, I mean, it's a great draft and I've, you know, I've looked back through the, who was drafted where, and it's kind of hard to argue that he should have gone before, you know, some, like a Jackson, Tatum, Ball, Fultz, maybe. But for me, that's it. Like, I mean, Isaac has some nice upside, but, I mean, Orlando's been down this road before. I mean, we already took Gordon, who seems like a similar type player who hasn't really, maybe doesn't have quite the shooting stroke Isaac does, but I mean, he's still trying to figure it out. I mean, Orlando, just like, they have a bunch of these guys who are like, they seem like they've got upside, they could be good, but I'm not sure about that. I mean, Markkanen for the Bulls, how did the Bulls pass up a possible star like Dennis
that's
Smith?
That's the thing, though, like, I'm super high on Smith. I actually had him third on my board behind Fultz and Ball. It's like they didn't watch last year and saw like how poor Chris Dunn was. Like, I guess they didn't want to make this trade for Butler. You get a point guard back who just won fifth, and then you draft another one. But who cares? I mean, to take Markkanen just didn't make any sense to me. And I mean, the Knicks too. I would have took Smith over Tilikina. I do like him a decent amount, but Smith's upside is just through the roof. And, you know, maybe in New York it wouldn't have worked out going to a team that's got all sorts of turmoil around them. I mean, we'll talk about that later too. But
he definitely has to go at seven at the – I mean, Markkanen, I mean, if this guy doesn't turn out to be like Dirk Nowitzki light or something like that, that's just an awful pick, man. And then the
I mean, what's the most likely case for him? He ends up like Channing Frye? Like, that's not worth the seventh pick. I mean, I think he could be very good offensively, but I just don't see how he's ever going to be any good defensively. So that was just confusing and just another weird move for Chicago that team is in disarray, to say the least.
I think the Knicks are going to really regret that, too. If this guy turns out to be a star, that's going to be a killer for them right there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, even – well, I like Fox quite a bit, but, you know, what do you think about – I mean, did the Celtics – I'm sure you guys spoke on this on the last pod. Shout out Stan Sun. I like that guy. I've been talking to him for years. But the – I mean, did the Celtics – I mean, I know they swooped – another really nice draft pick and all that, but they got to hit that. But I mean, now they're stacked with these small forward type of guys. Are they, and after now that I've seen Lonzo Ball, and I have a hot take on this guy, is this guy, to me, I know it's just summer league and maybe defensively some of these passes would maybe get deflected or picked off or whatever. But I mean, to me right now, he's either the most gifted passer in the entire NBA or in the top three. I mean, people are kind of giving it to me for saying that, but I mean, I've watched the NBA a long time, and you can tell right out the gate that this guy is an incredible passer.
His passing ability is just unreal. Completely natural to him, too. You know, when he gets a rebound, he's looking right away to find somebody, and yeah, he'll make a slightly risky pass, but he's hit most of them there, so
there is nobody in the NBA making passes like that on that kind of consistent basis like he was doing in summer league. I have not seen anybody consistently hit up those kind of passes ever.
Yeah, I can't. I'm excited to watch him for all the people hating on him and
kudos to him. He stepped up.
For sure. I mean, even like the media, it seems like some of the, you know, media people are like almost rooting against him because of his dad. It's like, relax, let's watch him play some games. But to your original point, I mean, if I was Boston, there's no way I would have traded back. I think Fultz has got potential to be like one of the best players in the league. He could be James Harden on offense. He could easily be Damian Lillard that can play defense if everything works out. Like, the upside is just through the roof, and in Lonzo too. I'm not as big on Tatum as most people, so that might be part of the reason too. And I get what they're doing to some extent. I mean, they want to be able to switch everything. I'm sure they're going to, at the end of games, run out a lineup that is something along the lines of Isaiah, Smart, and then like Hayward, Tatum or Brown, and then Horford or something. Yeah, it's like they have a bunch of different options. I mean, Marcus Morris too is another guy who can defend and switch.
I forgot they got Morris. They have all these guys. They can come with some interesting lineups, but they refuse to have given up Crowder in any of these deals, even if it would have gotten them a Butler or something like that. It's like, come on, man, pull the trigger.
Yeah, actually, that's the trade we can talk about. We didn't last time, the Avery Bradley. I mean, we can work at it from Boston's perspective now. I think this boosts Marcus Smart a decent amount because they have to play him to defend point guards because Isaiah can't defend these top point guards. And you can't have Crowder or Hayward chasing around point guards either. I think Smart's role is going to increase. What does that mean for fantasy? I mean, he's a big steals guy who's an inconsistent shooter. You're not going to get much else besides, you know, those steals, but maybe ends up getting a little more consistent from three and he becomes a decent, you know, at least bottom end guy on your roster. Otherwise, like you said, Crowder, Tatum, Brown, Morris, Hayward, there's so many minutes to go around. I mean, I think their base lineup that they start might actually have Hayward playing at shooting guard. But at the end, like I said, at the end of the games, I don't see how they can avoid not having Smart on the floor. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, they might actually start Aaron Baines and play Horford at power forward. I don't know what Stevens is going to do, but man, their depth is incredible, and they got so many options that it's going to make things difficult for a lot of these guys to have fantasy value in 12ers outside of, you know, Thomas, Hayward, and Horford.
Yeah, I mean, they get Hayward, which I know pains you deeply, but, I mean, that was a great get. I have Hayward, to me, is right about in the top 20 of all NBA. A lot of people don't have him quite that high, but, I mean, I've been a huge fan. He is a very, very nice player. And, you know, now they had, and then they had Brown last year, which, you know, I'm kind of coming around on that pick. And then you go with another small forward here. I mean, imagine Lonzo Ball out there diming up all these guys, or even Fultz as a backup plan in case they don't want to max out Isaiah Thomas, who's from my hometown.
Exactly.
Shout out to him.
And Fultz can play next to Isaiah, too. He's got a 6'10 wingspan, so it. I mean, granted, his defense would have to come around a lot. It was dreadful at Washington, but the upside is there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of guy I wouldn't want to miss out on. So, yeah, I didn't really like that move. I mean,
Tatum better be a star. I mean, they also passed up another small forward, Jackson, who everybody loves, Fox. I mean, there's a lot of guys that, like, if
things work out, I could see Tatum becoming – their next Paul Pierce.
Right, that's a great comparison. I was just about to say, offensive skill-wise, he does have some of that in him, I think, but we'll see.
Right, I mean, he's going to be able to score. I mean, worst case to me, he might be like Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
Like, when Rudy Gay wasn't, or was more of a selfish player in Memphis, I don't see any way Tatum's not going to score, and he's going to be valuable in fantasy for that reason. But on the other hand, man, it's a lot of risk.
Are they still setting up for a big trade? Are they just racking up small forwards?
I don't know. It's hard. Who are you going to trade for now, though?
Right.
I mean, the only guy you can hope for is Anthony Davis.
Ooh.
Everything goes poorly for the Pelicans next
Which
year.
Which it will.
You know, they don't. It certainly could. And you know, they just decide they have to trade him before, you know, there's 2 years left on his deal after next year. They want to get their max value, and Boston just gives them everything.
Yep.
And
that's the only
move. The only thing. Yeah, I mean, the George situation is done. Baller situation's done. Who else is going to be available that's, you know, even worth giving up these extra assets? I don't see it. It has to be Davis, and that's a lot of hope. You know, you're banking on something a year away. I don't know. It's a tough situation. I mean, I give Ainge credit to some extent to have the balls to do it and not, you know, just shovel everything in. But at the same time, I wouldn't have blamed him one bit if he got Butler. And, you know, if you're working on a lineup with, you know, say they kept Bradley and then, or even if they traded him, Chicago, doesn't matter. So you have Smart or Isaiah, Butler, Hayward, either Brown or even Morris, and then Horford, like, that is a pretty ridiculous lineup. So I still think that might be the goal, though, for Boston, is hope LeBron leaves after next year, make the big move, be the clear favorite in the East, and then hope to get lucky in the finals, basically. I don't know.
And then get hit with another nice pick next year. I mean, do they have a shot at the one next year?
I mean, they have Brooklyn's pick.
And the Lakers. So, I mean, they could get
the Lakers. Well, the Lakers, if it's the Lakers pick, if it's 2 through 5.
Okay, so they could theoretically get two top 5 picks here.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so he's going to have to hit those. They need the one pick, but the problem is the star, the guy who's looking as the number one pick right now, a guy that was supposed to go to Washington again that switched back to Missouri, he's another kind of like small forward-ish type of guy. So, I mean, what are we going to do here? I mean, I know we're spending a lot of time talking about the Celtics. It's just so interesting.
Yeah, it is. They are. It's worth talking about. There's so much going on. I don't really know. I'm sure he's got some master plan, Danny Ainge, but it's hard to really figure out what it is at this point.
Yeah, Brown is kind of the interesting guy to me because it's like he's kind of shooting guard or small forward, not a great shooter, real nice athlete, nice on D, a lot of upside there, but it's like, you know, you touched on all finding minutes for all these guys. I mean, it just seems a tad challenging. I mean, picking up that Lakers pick, you know, but did they need it necessarily? I mean, you already have the Nets picks. I mean, I guess.
Right. And I think they have another first down the line. Yep. Or, you know, it's tough. And the other thing, too, is, you know, if you keep waiting, say they even do get these picks next year. Well, at that point, if you want to max Isaiah, that's going to cost you a ton. And he's going to be at that point 29. Hayward's going to be 28. I mean, by the time these rookies are, you know, not in their prime but approaching it, those guys are going to be 30 to 32 years old. So they're not going to be at their peak either. So it's like they're balancing between this great young core right now headlined by Brown and Tatum, but with these other guys coming. But at the same time, you have Horford, Hayward, and Thomas who are in their upper 20s. You know, it's a weird balancing act that they're – contending while building and mix, you know, trying to balance it out is a tough job for Brad Stevens. So it'll be interesting to see how much Tatum plays this year, how much Brown plays. I mean, it's hard to see a scenario where they're both playing more than 20 minutes. I mean, I could see one of them, I guess it's probably more likely to be Brown to reach like 25-ish, but I expect Morris to play about that much. They're going to probably play Aaron Baines even 10 to 15 minutes, if not more. He's probably going to get the cheap start in my mind. He'll play the first 4 or 5 minutes and come out and do it again.
Yeah, shout out Aaron Baines, Wazoo alumni, Washington State alumni, one of my many alma maters. So shout out to him. He's a kind of
– they're going to need his
– I'm shocked he's in the NBA, but it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, they need his rebounding, though. So I wouldn't be surprised if he played a decent amount. There's just so few minutes to go around. What did you think about Detroit's decision to trade for Avery Bradley with 1 year left on his deal and then let KCP go, who was a restricted free agent? It was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I've been real curious about the whole Detroit situation. You know, it's sort of interesting. You know, they've had a pretty solid starting five. The bench has been absolutely disgraceful. They improved it a tiny bit. I didn't like them taking Stanley Johnson over Winslow a couple years back. I did not like that at all. Winslow got hurt last year, so it's hard for me to truly win that argument.
But it was really a lost year for Johnson.
Right,
too.
Just, I mean, gross.
They really need him now that Marcus Morris is gone. I think, I mean, for fantasy, Tobias Harris is going to get a nice boost now with Morris gone. But, I mean, I really like Bradley as a player. But, again, you're a year away from having to pay him $20 million a year probably to keep him.
Yeah, and is he better than Pope? I mean, Pope is a better shooter. I love Bradley. Again, he's from my hometown as well. Shout out to him. I know his dad. But he is a nice two-way player. You know, he's not a pure shooter per se, but, you know, he was hitting last year and he's a real.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he had a great year last year, but again, it's like Caldwell Pope's 24.
Ugh.
Bradley's going to turn 27 in the season, so you got to work on that. So you're going to. I mean, Bradley did have his best year, I think, last year. I mean, he was very good for them. I mean, he had 16 points a game, he shot a real good percentage. You know, even he shot 39% from three. He's a great defender, and that's what Boston, I think, is really going to miss. But it's just, I don't really know what Stan Van Gundy's, what is he trying to set up here? Like, I don't understand how their team works together at all.
I don't know, man. Ever since he turned down the Warriors job so he could control the Pistons, you never want to, don't ever give the coach GM responsibilities. We've been down this road so many times. Yeah, it's a proven fact. They don't. I mean, what? It's never worked out. Why do these coaches insisting on these power moves when they obviously? I mean, you don't have enough time to handle all this stuff. I mean, I like what he kind of put together, and then Pope, like you mentioned, it's like he finally was showing kind of signs of possibly developing into almost, you know, lower all-star level, and now he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, on point guards, he's about as good as it gets. I mean, yeah, he only shot 35% from three last year, which was his best, but it is an improvement. I think it's going to keep getting marginally better. It's you get this GM, a coach GM, and he's always making moves for the present to try to make them better. I mean, he ends up hard capping the team because he felt the need to give Langston Galloway a 3-year deal. Like, it's just like, I don't really get what Stan Van is doing. I think he realizes that, you know, they had pretty high expectations last year. A lot of people thought they could be a 4 or 5 seed, and then they ended up missing the playoffs. They missed the playoffs again, and with how bad the East might be, I think he's going to get fired. Exactly. So that now he's making these moves for the moment, and if he's gone, well, he doesn't care how, you know, the situation they're in. I mean,
like, he gets fired everywhere. He gets fired every time, and he's one of these retreads that were, for some reason, that people continue to hire. I mean, I always kind of thought he was a decent coach, but I mean,
yeah, I think he's a good coach too. I think, you know, Drummond is just he's overrated to me, and I think that's part of the problem. But he clearly is doing weird things with this roster. And like you said, I mean, the only situation where a coach GM really worked out was San Antonio, and that's only because Pop walks, you know, had Duncan fall into his lap. At some point, he realized it and let R.C. Buford take more of a role. So, I mean, I do think Doc Rivers, for the first time, did a good job this offseason, but he's been, you know, both guys for 5 years, and, you know, Rock Divers, the GM, is, you know, Nate Duncan likes to call him. He's just awful, but as a coach, he's fine. But, you know, I don't know. It's just a messy situation. I mean, I don't think it really changes Bradley's fantasy value at all. It might help him a little bit. He might have a slightly bigger role, you know, than he did, you know, playing next to Isaiah. But I don't think it changes too much.
What about Reggie Jackson? I mean, this guy fell off a goddamn cliff last year, and I was a little concerned there. I mean, they paid him out, and then Drummond, you know, after Drummond's rookie or second year, I'm like, oh my god, this guy is he still was a steal no matter what. I mean, he went too late in the draft. I mean, the guy is an absolute monster, but I mean, it doesn't seem like he's really improved his game maybe even over the last 2 years, so that's quite disappointing, because you would have liked to see him take that next step and be like the dominant center, traditional center in the NBA, or top 2-3, which he might be anyway, but he hasn't really expanded on his game.
No, he hasn't improved at all. Yeah, I mean, Jackson, that was a horrible year. I mean, you kind of want to throw it completely out the window. I mean, when you're losing time to Ish.
Yeah, that was brutal. I'm like, Jackson should be putting up incredible fantasy numbers in that. They had Harris, Morris, Drummond. You can feed Drummond in the paint, Pope. I mean, you should be averaging double-digit assists, bro. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, in the 27 games he played for Detroit the year they traded for him, he averaged 9.2 assists. 2015-16, 6.2. Last year, only 5.2. For fantasy, if he's your third point guard, I'd be willing to take the chance, but I couldn't go earlier. I mean, he gives you zero blocks. He only has 0.7 steals, which is dreadful for a point guard. 2.2 rebounds a game last year. I mean, what are you really getting from him? You're getting a good free throw rate, but not with good volume because he doesn't go to the line enough. Decent, like, you're not really getting much from him at all. I mean, he's really the key to me because – they don't have, you know, Tobias Harris. I mean, the guys they have are nice players, but no one else can, like, control the ball. You know, he has to be the predominant ball handler for the team to work, and I don't know.
And then how about their last two draft picks? I mean, what Ellison last year? I mean, where does that – I mean, that guy was nothing.
Ellison is – yeah, that was horrible. I mean, I could see Kennard being okay.
Yeah, he's kind of surprised me, actually. I mean, when people started talking about him as a top 15 pick, I'm like, really? This white small forward shooter from Duke, like, you know, we've been down this path before. He's surprised me a little bit. So hopefully that pick hits for them. But I mean, I'm trying to see who they maybe passed up, who they might regret. I mean, Donovan Mitchell would have been a nice pick. I really like Adebayo.
But that's another thing. Oh, Bam Adebayo. Yeah, he's looked really good for them. But again, I couldn't see him. I mean, we talked about that in the last pod too, where you know Son really likes him, and I think he can't play next to Whiteside, so he's only going to probably play 15 to 20 minutes, but those minutes are going to be insane. Oh, yeah. Like his per 36s are going to be through the roof. I mean, again, like I really liked OG Anunoby that the Raptors ended up took him, but he's probably not going to play this year. If he does, it's not going to be late till the year, and that's a guy Stan Van probably doesn't even have on his board because he can't, you know, he can't risk it.
Yeah. Detroit. I mean, they should have been taking a page out of Danny Boy Ainge's playbook here, and kind of maybe if they were going to felt like they were going to maybe have to do a total reboot, maybe just try to dump some of these guys. I mean, they're going to have to give Drummond the absolute max, obviously, or he's gone. Do they really want to do that? And, you know, they let Pope walk. Now they got Bradley, but are they going to want to pay him? He's going to want major cash. I mean, the last couple of years I've been saying, man, I love this starting five. The bench was terrible. They made a couple decent moves when they got Harris and the Morris and did all that. But the bench is still just so thin where the people in Detroit are looking at Ish Smith like he's a hero. I'm sorry, that guy's not a starting NBA point guard. And if he is, you're in serious trouble.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and the sick thing is we're hammering on them a bit, and they'll have a decent chance to make the playoffs in the East because, I mean, Boston, Cleveland, Toronto, Washington, Milwaukee are probably locked.
It's a disgrace. Sorry to cut you off. It is a disgrace they didn't make the playoffs last year. I mean, what in the how do you not? I mean, they were my pick to make the playoffs, at least at the bottom end. How are they not like a 5-6 seed in that horrible conference?
Right. So we had Atlanta, Indiana, Chicago that made it in last year. There's no way any of those teams are getting in. So you have Miami, Detroit, Charlotte, and probably Philly fighting for three spots. I mean, they still have a really good chance to make the playoffs, and this team is an absolute dumpster fire. I mean, I love the fit of KCP next to Ball, too. I think it'll really let Ball ease in defensively because KCP can take the harder matchups. Again, I don't think it really changes Pope's fantasy value too much. I mean, he might end up, you know, pushing 2.5 threes a game. He was at 2 last year because he might take 8 threes a game. You know, he's going to play a ton of minutes, and they're going to play fast pace spread. There's going to be a ton of chances for him. It's basically only threes, and he's going to bury your field goal percentage. He only shot 40% last year, only 3.3 rebounds. That actually could go up a slight bit now that he's not playing with Drummond. But, you know, 2.5 assists, 1.2 steals. It's bottom end, but I could see, you know, him being the last guy or two you own in a 12-man league. For, you know, in real life, I thought it was a great move for the Lakers. Again, it's only 1 year, so
no risk at all. They're gonna not get their pick if it's between 2 and 5 anyway. Right. Which, you know, at this point,
they don't have their pick.
They don't get it anyway.
Regardless,
right.
Philly would keep it if it's
the first pick or six
are on. So.
There's no reason to tank. So, I mean, exactly. Whatever. I mean, it's a no-lose situation. If he works out, then you re-sign him.
Right, exactly. You can decide, you know, if you whiff on LeBron and those guys, you can bring him back. You even have the option of, you know, say someone gets hurt during the year on a different team. You could try to flip him for, you know, even if it's a late first-round pick, that would be, you know, you're turning $18 million in cap space that you just had into a first-round pick for them. That would be a good move, too. So, again, no-risk situation.
What do you think?
I'm going to kind of like a lot of those guys on that. Lakers,
God, I was looking at the roster. I mean, you had, you know, Lopez. I mean, I'm not as huge as fan, but, I mean, that's a big upgrade for them. And
I like them a lot more in fantasy than real life. I mean, especially last season – he adds the three-pointer. It's so hard to find a guy who he gave you 1.8 threes a game and 1.7 blocks. I mean, that's just absurd, an absurd combo to get together. Shooting, you know, 81% free throws, so he's not hurting you there. And, you know, 47% from the field, you know, not great for center. But when he's adding in those threes, it's awesome. You know, the minutes, he was only playing 30 minutes a game last year, not even, just on, you know, 29 and a half, because Kenny Asshat in Brooklyn likes to not play anyone real minutes. But so you could see the rebounding coming back up. I mean, it's a real good situation for him. Obviously, Lonzo, it's hard to gauge what his fantasy line's going to be off the bat, but the assists are going to be great, and that alone makes you relevant in fantasy. Again, Caldwell Pope for threes. The one guy I'm just really unsure of is how it's going to go for Randall. And, you know, he had the ball a ton in his hands last year. I don't see that happening too much. Even Ingram, too, who looked unreal in summer league and obviously didn't keep playing him because there was no point. I'm really interested to see how he does in his second year. He's kind of been forgotten, you know, after, you know, they traded D'Angelo and brought in Lonzo. I think his upside is through the roof. I'm not sure we see it all this year. I mean, he's still – I don't even think he's 20 years old yet. I'm checking that now. But the Lakers are finally putting a decent group together. And
yeah, I really like – I mean,
they'll still probably be 13th or 14th in the West, just because the West is absurd. But
fun to watch, though.
Exactly. Very fun to watch, and you could see –
and a lot of offense. I mean, fantasy wise, we're looking at some interesting stuff here with Ball. I mean, we saw what he did at UCLA as far as the improvement of the team when he's on the court. What he did there is almost monumental. I mean, this guy is very talented. I was sort of a doubter as far as the translation to the league, but I mean, this dude's passing is on such another level. Defensively, he's going to have some struggles. I'm not as worried about the shot. He's always hit kind of a fairly decent percentage. I bet he gives you a couple threes a game this season, fantasy-wise. I mean, he's going to be – I think they're going to be gunning. I think they're going to take after kind of the Phoenix Suns, the Houston Rockets. I think they're going to go straight just gun.
Right. No, I agree. And, again, with the defense, I mean, he does have a big wingspan, at least in, you know – Caldwell Pope just makes it a lot easier that he can take the easier matchup of the two. And he only shot 67% from the free throw line last year. It wasn't big volume, though, so hopefully that takes a slight uptick. But I mean, he had 6 rebounds a game last year at UCLA and 1.8 steals, 0.8 blocks. I mean, you might actually get decent blocks from him, at least compared to other point guards. Even if he's at half a block a game, that does make a decent difference, because outside of, you know, like, John Wall is the, you know, the big shot blocking point guard. There aren't really many of them, so a little uptick there. Obviously, the assists. I mean, it'll probably be, I don't know, 7 to 8 a game, maybe even more depending on how many minutes he got. It's really hard to say there, but it'll be a plus. Like you said, he, you know, 2.2 threes a game last year in college. It'll probably be around the same too. And yeah, and there's just so much to like. And for fantasy this year, it's either him or Dennis Smith for the first rookie to me. And the more time goes on, you know, as much as I love Smith, I think it probably has to be Ball. And that's not to say, you know, in a dynasty, I would probably still take Fultz myself. Yeah. I mean, he's the same thing with the blocks. The upside is just through the roof for him too.
Yeah, I'm still high on Fultz this year. I think I'm a little higher on him this year than maybe you are, just because I feel like he's going to play a ton of minutes, and he's going to be – I think he's just going to – just by being on the court, he's going to put up some nice stats. But, I mean –
well, what I said to Sun on the last one is basically I want to get all the Philly guys, like the main ones, I want to get them on one team, and then I want fantasy team, so I just don't miss out on them completely, and then just see how it works out. Like Simmons, we don't know how the shot's going to be, but you might be getting like – 6 to 7 assists from a power forward, which is, you know, a huge fantasy boost. Obviously, Embiid could be the nuts if he can stay healthy. And Fultz has got the kind of upside too. Redick even might make 3 threes a game playing for them too. I mean,
if those guys are healthy, they're making the playoffs. But I mean, that is the biggest if. As far as Embiid is concerned, man, I mean, you know, I after I saw him just in warm-ups summer last year, I'm like, this guy is a superstar. He's out there doing between-the-leg dunks. I mean, just an absolute freak. But, I mean, if this guy – I mean, he's been injured this many times already. We know from history that's an awful sign. Nobody wants to see the guy hurt. I really hope he gets it together.
He even shot almost 37% from the three.
He is an absolute. If he is somehow stays healthy, I mean, this dude is like a Hall of Famer. This guy is an absolute hog. But I mean, it's a big if for me right now. So I'd be
right. Wary. I mean, even if they keep his minutes limit at 25. Like they, where he was averaged a game last year. If you could get his stat line from last year over, say, 70 games, even, you're looking at a guy who's a borderline first rounder in fantasy. I mean, last year he averaged 20-8 with 2 assists, 1.2 threes, 2.5 blocks and a steal a game with good free throw percentage. Like, it's just absolutely incredible. And I hope to God he stays healthy because he's like the funniest guy on Twitter in the world. And, you know, Philly fans have been suffering long enough. I mean, you know, if Simmons struggles a bit, they do have Sarge off the bench now. I mean, Covington is a nice fit there too.
Love him. Love Covington. I mean, that's a great – I'm glad they made that move, man. They got screwed over when they've been tanking and not getting the number one picks and stuff like that. They've been really unlucky. So for them to make that move, give up that pick – the Lakers pick, right? To give that,
it's either the Lakers pick if it's 2 through 5, or the Kings pick the year after. So
right. So I mean, they still have their own pick. They still have some other assets, and then they get who a lot of people thought was a star. I mean, I've seen this guy in certain guys' rankings who have done, you know, give guys a certain star ranking or whatever. And Fultz was up there with most of the pet players in the past. These guys had at that level all. Like 95% of them have turned out to be kind of NBA all-stars. So, I mean, if they're hitting on this guy and he is an absolute star, then that's a no-brainer. I mean, you get Fultz, or, I mean, what were they going to do? They were low on options there. They would have had to take another small forward, which they don't really – I guess they could have paired like a Tatum or Jackson, but Jackson's not a good enough shooter. They could have gone Fox. Fox isn't a good enough shooter for me to pair with Simmons. So, I mean –
to me, like, the best fit was Malik Monk, but you couldn't take him. Right. They would have had to trade back, and I don't know. I love the move going up.
And, yeah.
You know, if everything works out, I mean, the team is –
they're there. They're there right now. If they work out healthy, they got 3 stars right there. They're there, plus Covington, plus Redick for this year, plus a couple other, you know, decent players. You know, I love it.
Yeah, for sure.
I forgot to mention what you said about Randall, though. Yeah, that's a tough call. They're probably going to have to let him walk, right, or trade him at the deadline.
Yeah,
he's just kind of a tweener.
Right. I mean, they'll be able to go over the cap to keep him if they want to. I just don't know what the plan is. I mean, they might have to dump his cap hold just to have the space to sign a couple guys. I mean, I'm just interested to see how he does this year because, like I said, he looked pretty good this year or last year, and he had his moments. You know, for fantasy, it's not particularly great. You know, he had 3.6 assists a game last year, which was nice, but, you know, 0.7 steals, half a block, you know, slightly below average free throws, decent field goal percentage, but it's coming with, you know, only 0.2 threes a game. I wanted to see, like, how they just distribute the ball and how much he's used. I really don't know where he should be ranked, and it's a really tough call. He's one of the guys who is one of the bigger question marks to me, because if he, you know, if he pans out, even if he repeated last year, I mean, he should be owned in leagues because, you know, 13 points, 8.5 boards with 4 assists, you know, with, you know, shooting 49%, it's solid enough. You know, it's probably not top 100, but it's not too far off. But
yeah, I like the guy.
Any step back at all, I mean, Kuzma's been unreal, like I said, and I really like Larry Nance too. So I don't know. I just don't know what their plan is. I could see them trade. I mean, he was talked about being traded for a while. They end up keeping him. So I don't.
You don't want to. And plus, when they got the front court of him and Lopez, two atrocious defenders. I mean, it's just going to be gross.
I mean, there is a chance that they're the worst defensive team in the league. I mean, I have to think about it some more if I'm missing someone obvious. But
besides Ball, KCP, yeah, Ball is going to get torched probably too. Yeah, but KCP then Ingram's got some defensive ability. But yeah, the rest of the – and Nance is a nice defender. But yeah, the other starters – I mean, have three sub far, not just subpar. I don't know how good Law Ball will be defensively, but Lopez and Randall are far below average.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing too, is having the big men who can be rim protectors and move. And just Lopez, it's like he's in quicksand, and Randall's not much better.
Yeah, so I know we've kind of banged out a lot of these this rookie stuff. So does it look like we'll switch? I want to switch gears here for a second. So we're going. The Houston Rockets. It looks like Carmelo is insistent upon going there. I've been a constant Carmelo kind of detractor over basically since he maybe just the last 5 years. He's really disappointed me as far as his NBA career. I know he's made countless All-Star teams, but I mean, he seems like he's never improved his game. I was a huge fan. His one season in Syracuse was one of the most impressive college seasons I've ever seen in my life. Great post game. Inside beast. Doesn't seem to have wanted to do that in the NBA at all. His shot percentage hasn't improved. People used to say, I think even a few years ago, people like Barkley, like, oh, he's the best offensive player in the game. I'm like, no, he's not. Kevin Durant has surpassed this guy years ago. It's not even close to me. I mean, and I don't know, is he washed up now, or does he actually improve Houston?
I think, to the first point, the one thing that really just left a bad taste in my mouth is he wanted to go to New York, and he basically made New York's team worse by not just waiting to the offseason.
Right.
That was just the one infuriating thing to me. I mean, I think we might see like Olympic Carmelo in Houston, which would be great for, you know, his fantasy value and just real life value. Being the third guy, maybe it would just make things a lot easier for him. I mean, he did shoot 36% from three last year. He's still, you know, averaged 22 points, six rebounds. Like you said, it's frustrating he's not really willing to play.
I mean, 22 and six on the Knicks. I mean, give me 30, bro. I mean, what? He just seems, you know, I just don't know. I wish he would really, you know, go back to some of that post game. Although with now Harden and Chris Paul, I mean, you got to think
that's
he's going mean.
To
get
he's
set
gonna
up
be wide
to go
open.
Wet.
He's going to get so many easy baskets. It's tough to say how it's actually going to work out, assuming he goes there. How much three he's going to play, how much four. I mean, I know he doesn't want to play it, but depending how you look at it, I mean, him or Ariza is going to be the power forward then, you know, so he's going to have to bang a little bit.
Gets interesting to go away from a fantasy perspective. Do you think the addition of Carmelo they probably are now my number two. If they get Melo, who I'm still not sure if they actually improves the team. I think I'm leaning towards it does. If they get Carmelo and have that Ariza lineup you're talking about with Capella making improvements, are they the biggest threat to the Warriors? I mean, I still see absolutely no threat to the Warriors, but, I mean, to me, it's got
to
be them.
Yeah, I think it has to be second.
The Spurs haven't done enough for me to – I mean, they were looking pretty good last year, but, I mean, they haven't added enough or done enough to where I think they're on that level.
It seems like they want to save cap space for next summer and hope to get someone. I don't know. I would have to put Houston second. Like you said, they're still so far behind Golden State. But at the same time, this could be a team who randomly has a few games where they make 23s and can just outscore Golden State a couple times.
I think they can hang, man. They still have Ryan Anderson, whether they want to dump him or not.
He would have to go in the trade. I don't see how they can match salaries without sending out Anderson. But you know, they've got Mbamute.
I like the Mbamute getting that bargain. Yeah. Nobody signed him for some reason. He opted out and had to take even less money. But, yeah, and then the Tucker. I mean, yeah, it's a nut. If they get Melo to that.
At the end of a game, say they're, you know, they're up. I mean, they sub Eric Gordon, too. Say they're up with two minutes left in the game. Let's go even more extreme. They're up 2 points with 20 seconds left. They can put out an all-defensive lineup with, you know, say, Paul, you know, Tucker, Ariza, and Mbamute and Capella, if you want to take Harden off or you leave him on, whatever. But they actually have the ability now to put together a solid defensive lineup, which, you know, they, to be blunt, didn't have it in the past, and basically anyone could score on them the majority of the time. So, yeah, you have to like what Houston's doing. I think I mean, I think they have to be considered the second best team in the West, even without the Carmelo trade. If they do, it does sure things up a bit. For the Knicks' perspective,
what are the Knicks holding out for? By the way, I mean they got. I mean, you're not going to get anything good for him. I don't believe
no,
at this point.
I
mean,
so.
Should we just move
I mean,
on?
To be
Nobody
honest,
wants
to, be
to
honest,
see this
Houston,
anymore.
Houston doesn't really have anyone to give up anyway
right.
at this point. You know, so I mean. God, you look at that team and who's left and who's going to score. I mean, it's basically Porzingis and you probably see Tim Hardaway score a lot of points, which we didn't talk about either.
That signing is fucking gross.
It's so
hard
bad.
In my
but,
language. But yeah, does Porzingis, I mean, what if does this dude take the next step and go to like 25, 26 points a game in this lineup? Is that possible?
I mean, it's possible. I would probably say like the low 20s.
Yeah.
He was at 18 a game last year, but
I mean, with ball hard Carmelo out of his face, I mean, does this help? I mean,
yeah, it could. It's hard to say. I mean, how they're gonna move the ball around? I mean, I would love to see him play some more center. I mean, Noah's irrelevant at this point.
Oh
I mean,
my!
I do like Hernan Gomez. So I don't know what it's gonna do. I mean. Porzingis is like a clear second round pick in fantasy to me because, again, he's another guy with the threes and blocks. It's basically him and Brooke that give you that combo with Marc Gasol a little bit too. But
yeah, and he's the unquestioned guy there now. I mean, so that could get real interesting as far as upside guys. He's got to be kind of the top of the list. I mean, there's no real limit. You never know when some of these guys really take that next step. So, I mean, maybe this is the year. I'm pretty excited about him. But yeah, the rest of that team. We'll see about the French point guard. It seems like he's, you know, from what I read about him, it seems like people are like, well, you know, he could be an average point. And I'm like, what? An average point? Why did you draft him over Dennis Smith? You're in New York City. You need the star power, and you're giving me this guy who's, you know, I mean, maybe people are underrating him a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was reading the Draft Express stuff, and, you know, he can play. He can defend 1 through 3. I mean, he's got a 7-foot wingspan, which is unreal for a point guard. It's hard to say what he's going to do to start. I mean, he's definitely not going to come out of the gates having a big offensive impact like Smith or Fox even could have. But, I mean, he's going to be solid right off the bat, and he can defend, you know. So, I would have won Smith, but I didn't hate the pick. Again, I've only watched him play once or twice. I'm basically going off what Draft Express has said. But, I mean, right now, unless I'm forgetting someone, the point guards on their roster are him and Ron Baker. So someone, one of those guys, or if not both, might end up being relevant in fantasy because someone's going to get assists. I mean, as much as I like Porzingis, he's not going to be like a predominant ball handler. So, man, I don't know what what their plan is. What I don't know, but I'm glad Phil Jackson is gone. And well, maybe again, who knows? Like again, it's the East. If Porzingis breaks out fully, and you know, does basically like the breakout like Giannis did last year, maybe they sneak in the playoff. Like you can't write anybody out. But like Brooklyn, probably, and even them, like who knows if Russell and Lin together do well? Like it's ridiculous. How
I do like what Brooklyn has kind of been doing here lately to kind of save themselves over this disgrace that they've turned into. I like the moves.
It's brilliant. They've done very well. They've added, you know, they got a first round pick for taking Damari Carroll's contract. I wouldn't, you know, they got Russell for taking on Mozgov's contract. You might as well load up on these shitty deals, get extra picks. I mean, they end up getting a first round pick for Bogdanovich at the deadline last year for taking Nicholson's contract too. 2019 and 2020 is when you should start to be building towards. Let Russell, Lynn, I like Caris LeVert too, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, you know, see how these guys look. You know, get some more assets for taking on bad contracts if you can, and, you know, go from there. Don't make any bad rush moves and make bad deals. Like, If they would have got Otto Porter for the max, fine. But, you know, they didn't make another Crabb or Tyler Johnson signing like last year. So, you know,
What is Portland? What about Portland, since you mentioned Crabb? I mean, they're finally writing articles on how, you know, just atrocious, you know, all these signings they made the last year or two. And then they go get my boy from Gonzaga, Zach Collins, another kind of traditional center. He'll probably be able to expand.
I mean, I like him a decent amount. It's just a weird fit. Like, why trade up to get him when you're probably going to be playing Nurkic a ton? Like, their chance to be good. I mean, again, we're talking good as in, like, you know, make the playoffs.
Eight seed.
If Nurkic is great and just you outscore everyone between him, Lillard, and McCollum, like, that's certainly possible. So, it was a weird situation with Collins. I like Swanigan.
I kind of was a little concerned because I'm trying to remember the guy he reminded me of coming out of college. Like, his body reminds me of, like, a Sweetney or something, like the Georgetown guy back in the day. But I mean, he's extremely confident. I feel like he's putting in the work, and he's had some nice success in summer league. Do you think he'll break in minutes wise enough to make any kind of impact?
I don't think so. Okay. It's hard to say. I mean, I would be surprised. Like, their guard rotation is probably gonna be Lillard, McCollum, Crabb. Like, last year, McCollum was basically the backup point guard, so. You know, that's done there. You got Harkless and Aminu are probably the starters, but Evan Turner probably playing some in Noah Vonleh.
So God, Vonleh.
Maybe Swanigan plays 10 minutes a game or something. I don't even know if he'll get to that many with Collins, too. I don't know.
I'm saying just keep an eye on him long term. I'm going to scratch him up for this year, but I am going to say I was impressed with his interviews, which, you know, doesn't really mean anything, but he's been kind of racking up a few stats here. I'm just saying, keep an eye on him for the next couple of years. But forget, if he disappears, forget I said anything. let's see here. Anything? We didn't really talk about Monk. You know, he was a guy, you know, top five talent, people thought all year long, and then slid to the Hornets at 11, which to me is an absolute home run for them. I'm not... unfortunately, he's almost kind of like, well, he's more explosive than Kemba Walker easily, but in the fact that they're both kind of point guard size, but not really, you know, true point guards, you know, where does, is he going to play enough to make a fantasy impact?
We talked about him on the last one a bit. I mean, we both liked him. I like him. The fit is perfect for him because he's going to play right away. They don't really have anyone else. It might be basically only threes to start, but
they need a star. They need a star. I think he's got that kind of upside. Maybe he becomes kind of a Lou Williams spark, like people kind of compared him to. But I think he's better than that.
I think that, I don't want to say that's worst case, but I think that's a fairly reasonable projection for him. I mean, I could see if everything worked out, he might become CJ McCollum, who had an unbelievable player offensive form. I forget who Sun compared him to, but there's someone else that made sense trying to draw a blank. But yeah, I mean, the upside's definitely there. It's hard to say how good it's going to be in fantasy, but again, I don't see a scenario where he's not averaging like two threes a game off the bat, because you look at their depth chart and, you know, you're working on, you know, with Kemba, Batum, Kid Gilchrist, Marvin Williams, Howard even as a starting lineup. Say that is the case, which I don't necessarily know if that's true. Monk's going to be getting all those other minutes when Batum shifts up to small forward and Kid Gilchrist moves up to power forward.
They got to make the playoffs, too. That team's got to make the playoffs in the East.
I would be shocked if they don't. I mean, last year they took a ton of injuries, and the year before they won 48 games. Like, I like getting Dwight Howard, actually, because they didn't give up really anything for him. I would be really surprised, and I honestly think they'll probably be the 5 or 6 seed, and wouldn't shock me if they, you know, push back towards the high 40s and wins, because, like you said,
I mean, Batum is
a lot of talent. The teams suck, you know. So
I mean, Dwight Howard, can you please either nut up here or just retire, man? I don't know. I mean, this guy. this guy, I forget if it was 5 years ago, whatever his last year in Orlando was, the year before that. I mean, this guy was consensusly looked at as like the number two most valuable player in all of the NBA, and now he's just like, people just can't stand this guy. And then he's mentioning, he's talking about shooting threes. I was like, he's got to be joking, right? Like, I mean, I was like, come on, man, you're not serious, right?
Yeah, everyone is against him, that's for sure. I mean, he did have a really good playoffs for Houston a couple years ago when they ended up making the conference finals the first year for Golden State won, but
he still seems like he has the ability to dominate against these people, and he's just not, like, does he just not care anymore? Like, can you tell me?
He's not willing to run the pick and roll, and even though he's unreal at it, it's so frustrating. I mean, you know, Clifford is a real good coach. I think that'll help try to, you know, rein him in somewhat. I think they'll probably keep his minutes down, too, to make sure he stays healthy. I mean, Zeller is a more than capable backup there, too, and they could even run out some lineups where Kaminsky's at center
They got some nice they got some nice bigs. I mean, Kaminsky can shoot. Zeller, you know, what turned out not being a great pick. I wanted them to take Noel that year over Zeller, but they didn't, and, you know, he's okay.
Zeller's been fine, yeah. I mean, it's not the end of the world. I mean, the only real issue they have is backup point guard because they signed MCW.
Oh.
They don't really have anyone else. I mean, that's the one weakness.
They need shooting, right? I mean, Kemba and Batum are nice. I mean, Kemba is about as streaky, is a very streaky guy. I know he's improved, and I don't know if he can be an NBA champion with him as your best player. Actually, I know you cannot become close, but Batum is obviously a very, very nice all-around player. But we need some more. We just need some shooting there.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't get MCW at all. I mean, even, you know, Kid Gilchrist plays a lot.
Oh, yeah, he can't shoot for shit. So, I mean, that's their problem. And they had a bunch of nice athletes, freak players. I mean, we got to get in some shooters.
Exactly. I would have rather them signed, like, Shelvin Mack or just random generic point guard who can shoot the three at decently.
Right. Was Darren Williams not available? I mean,
he's still unsigned. Like, I don't know if you could convince him to go there. Maybe not. But
God, he looked terrible in the playoffs for Cleveland. I was just like, dude, what? I mean, like, he was playing capable for the Mavericks that year and then came in and was, you know, okay for Cleveland and then just absolutely looked like.
Yeah.
I mean, to think at one point he was drafted ahead of Chris Paul and he was as good as Chris Paul, arguably, the first few years of his career. I never liked him as much. I would have taken Paul, no question, in that draft. Taking Marvin Williams over him is one of the biggest jokes I've ever seen, especially when they were desperate for a point. That still makes no sense to me. But
I would say from like 2009 to 11, maybe Darren might have been better than Paul. But before that, and clearly after that, Paul has been.
Yeah, so much and it's crazy. They're like the same age, right? I mean, it's just like one of them looks like he's 50 years old and is like, you know, shouldn't be in the league, and Paul is still, you know, peak player.
Right. I mean, I think part of it was, I mean, being a Jazz fan, I watched, like, when they went head to head, because Williams is so much bigger, he really had his way with Paul. And I think that might be why people would say, you know, he's better, even though it maybe was the case those 3 years. It definitely wasn't before or after. And even at that point, like, Paul might have been better too. So, he doesn't look like he's got much left. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up taking the veteran minimum to go to a good team again for 1 year or something.
Okay, well before we get out of here, I could talk to you about NBA all day. I enjoy it. Nobody else talks to me about the NBA, so I apologize for talking your up. But I got to get one more thing. The Timberwolves, we're going to the playoffs this year. What seed are we? I thought they were going to be a playoff contender last year. I was way off on that, obviously. But this year, with the Butler addition, with Karl Anthony Towns becoming to me, who I would possibly take number one overall in fantasy next year, possibly, I'm still debating, with him taking the next step, he is an incredible player. If Wiggins takes another step, we've got Teague, who's, you know, a better shooter than Rubio. I'm not, you know, sold on him completely, but I think maybe that's an upgrade, at least offensively, as far as spreading the floor. Like, I mean, are they in the playoffs next year? Yes or no?
Yes, but I think it's closer than most people think. I think most people are assuming they're going to be the 5 or 6 seed at this point. I'm a little more skeptical because, I mean, their best – well, first off, I just want to say the trade was a no-brainer and a great move.
Yeah.
But it makes things a little difficult because their best three-point shooter is probably Towns. Like,
yeah.
Like, the spacing on the floor is going to be really messy. And
so do you think Wiggins is kind of capped out, or do you think he can kind of, I mean, as far as deep threat?
No, I could see him getting better. I mean, the upside's there. And again, like Ball, with Wiggins coming in, or with Butler coming in, he's going to get easier defensive matchups. Maybe that will be what finally gets him going on the defensive end. But again, the spacing is going to be tough. It seems like it's going to be a lot of guys taking turns on offense. Now, granted, their offense was like 11th or 12th in the league last year because Towns is so absurd and he's going to get even better. So even that way, they could still have a top 10 offense. A lot of it's going to come down to how they upgrade defensively, which basically is Towns going to get better on defense? Because we know Butler is going to be fine. They do take a step back from Rubio to Teague defensively. But Teague's not like, you know, a turnstile. He's not atrocious. Mm-hmm. They're going to play two bigs. So, you know, Taj will be fine when he's out there. Same with Gorgie. I'm interested to see how it works out offensively because it's a real tough fit. If they got an injury to the wrong position, I mean, obviously Towns, but even like Teague now, you're going with Tyus Jones, who I actually do like quite a bit, but their depth.
Yeah, I was just about to comment on the depth there. I mean, and then but Wiggins and Butler, you know, they seem like really similar skill set and position wise, so one of them be playing, I guess, shooting guard, and then
I assume that'll be Wiggins.
Yeah, and then
but again, it doesn't really matter too much at this point the way the NBA is going.
Did they end up keeping Muhammad, or do they have to relinquish his rights?
No, they no one signed him yet, but they did. They cut.
It's another interesting guy who's out there for, you know, a team that needs some bench scoring.
Exactly. Someone with a bad second unit that could use him. It'll be interesting to see where he falls.
Or is he going to go to China with Ty Lawson? I was shocked. I'm like, okay, again, he's a better I mean, his three-point shooting is – whatever happened to Ty Lawson, don't let that happen to you or anybody else, because this guy looked like a star, and now he's in China. He did bounce back a little last year. But, yeah, why not sign him to be your backup instead of Michael Carter Williams or something? I mean, at least give me some offense.
He's from North Carolina.
Yeah, he's got to go over to China with some of these bums in the NBA. Are you kidding me? I mean, that was kind of mind blowing to me. But I mean, maybe that Belzica. How do you pronounce his last name? I mean, he can shoot it a little bit.
It's Bielitsa. Yeah, I think he could be. He's going to be important for them because they need him to spread the floor. So I mean, the way I look at it, Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, and OKC with the George trade, I think, are the top 4 seeds. Then you're looking at a group after that with Minnesota. I still think Utah is going to be in there because defensively they're going to be absolutely insane. I mean, getting Cephalosha in there now too on top of Mitchell, Exum, Rubio, you know, I think they'll be all right. I actually think the Clippers will still be in this tier. I think they're getting – a little bit overlooked. I'm interested to see how they do with, you know, if again, a lot of it is on Blake staying healthy, but I mean, they're rolling a starting lineup now of Beverly, probably Lou Williams, Gallo, Blake, and DeAndre. I still think they'll be fine.
They got Gallinari. Ooh.
Yeah. Right. And I think Denver's in that tier too, getting Millsap with
Denver's interesting. You know,
with Portland just on the outside.
I'm over Portland. I don't want to see them as the 8 seed anymore. Yeah. There's nothing there.
Memphis will be around there. And I think New Orleans, you know, if things
broke right. I would love to see New Orleans make that work somehow. excuse me. I am not a big Drew Holiday guy as far as, like, you know, he doesn't seem like a pure point guard. The shooting's here and there.
He's not going to be now, though, because they signed Rondo. So
I loved it. I loved the Rondo thing, which on one hand I didn't love because obviously he can't I mean, I fully loved it, but, you know, we know he can't, he's not a great shooter. But, I mean, as far as passers, I still feel like he's ability-wise, you know, a top five passer. Maybe if he can feed everybody, yeah, that does make it interesting.
That's the thing. I mean, his one good year in the last five was with Sacramento, with Cousins.
Right.
So he should be able to
get those big guys shooting threes, spread it out a little bit.
So, I don't necessarily think it's going to work, but there's a chance that it does. And
I hope it does, man.
Like high 40s in games just because like Davis and them are so good. Like it's not impossible. They're like, so
I know it was a struggle last year, but I mean, come on, make it work. I mean, the supporting cast was so awful last year as far as having all those bums they had out there. I mean, if they can, with those two guys, I mean, you just got to make it work. And then with paying Holiday $130 million, $140 million, I mean, come on, man, we got to get something major out of him. And then, the Clippers.
Their bench is just such a dumpster fire.
Yeah. I mean, they have no money. I mean, it's just like.
Yeah. Again, it's exactly. They're like Portland, where they're capped out and they're like a fringe playoff team. It's quite the mess. But again, this is everything's on the line for them this year. There's a chance that at the deadline or before, if they're doing shitty still, that they trade Cousins off for a rental.
And that's unfortunate when you have two big men who are arguably two top 10 players in the NBA. I think Anthony Davis is considered a top 3 to 5 player in the
Davis
NBA.
Is for sure. Davis
and
is
then you, and then you have a max sure. that, and then you have a third player who's a max player almost. So, I mean, you've got some, if you can't make that work, then I mean, everything's going to blow up. I mean, you're going to have to dump Cousins. Davis is probably going to want out, and then you're stuck with building around Drew Holiday. And I don't think anyone wants to see that.
I mean, we talked about it briefly. I brought it up last time with Minnesota to the same extent. Now, obviously, they're in much better shape than New Orleans, but say they do barely sneak in and get destroyed in the playoffs or they do miss. Butler's only going to have 1 year left on his deal then. Will you be able to re-sign him next offseason if you miss the playoffs? Maybe not. Maybe they're going to have to flip him right away then. Like, Minnesota sneakily has a lot on the line this year on their team. Obviously, they're not trying to be a contender immediately. I mean, they want to make the playoffs from this year for the foreseeable future, but their peak is going to be in 2 to 3 years when, in theory, Towns is among the best three players in the league with Giannis and Kawhi and Durant, maybe still, whatever. And Wiggins hopefully takes another step, but yeah, if they miss the playoffs this year or barely get in, I don't know. I could see some craziness happening with them this offseason. So they're a sneaky team in that they do have a lot on the line, even though they haven't made the playoffs before. It's kind of like where Utah was going this year, where Utah missed basically because of injuries. Then they end up having a great year, but everything was on the line whether Hayward stays, and now he leaves and they are not back to square one by any means. Like I said, I mean, I am slightly biased, but I still really like the team overall. Their depth is as good as anyone in the league, basically.
That's what I was going to ask you. Can Exum please become the star? I know he is inside. I see the flashes of this guy. People are done with him, but I'm like, this dude, I see him, and I'm like, that's a star. Like, he passes my eye test. I've always had pretty good luck kind of just identifying these dudes and be like, that dude is legit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got to see that.
I mean, their backups right now are him, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Johnson, Jarebko, and then
– who's the starting point guard? I'm blanking.
Rubio.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're working with Rubio, Hood, probably Ingles, Favors, Gobert, and then you have backups of Exum, Mitchell. You have Alec Burks too, if he can stay healthy. Joe Johnson.
I mean, that's a playoff. That's a definite solid team. I mean, get Favors back healthy. He never quite became as good as I thought he would, but he's still a very talented player.
He's really good. I mean, before this season, so if you ask me at this point last summer who the best player on the Jazz was, I think I might have honestly said him. Like, he was right there with Hayward and Gobert. Granted, those two took a huge step last year, both.
Right.
But Favors does have that kind of upside. So, Yeah, in their team, again, they're not back to square one by any means. You have Gobert locked up for 4 more years, thank God. So, the West is it's just ridiculous. I mean, how many teams would you say have zero chance to make the playoffs? Phoenix, the Lakers, probably the Kings, even though they made some decent moves.
The
That's about
Kings. Okay, I keep saying we're gonna go, but the Kings.
Sorry.
What is happening here? We said we. I love. I. They finally do a bunch of things where I'm like, okay, Vlade. Okay, you're doing nice things. I like what you're doing here. And then they sign, Hill and Zach Randolph, which
And Vince Carter
and
for
Vince Carter.
three
So
for
it's like,
one.
I get that you kind of want to be competitive, but let's be realistic here. You have an extremely
Right.
young team. You've drafted all kinds of these young big men. You just drafted Fox at number
Right.
five. Who's a, why
Why?
are
That's
you,
the thing. I
what are
don't.
you
Hold
doing?
on. The Hill thing, I don't mind as much, only because he
Can't play
can't play
both.
next to Fox
Right.
for sure. Yeah, he's got a 6'10 wingspan, so I could see that working out. You don't have to rush Fox in, but the Randolph made no sense. I talked about it with Son. I'm a big Scala Bissier fan, and now his minutes aren't going to be as high as I hoped for.
Right.
Like you said, there's just so many big men there. It's just, I don't know
I
what
mean, what's
NBA
up
is
with your
trying to
boy
do,
Papa
but.
Giannis or Papa
Oh God,
Swaggadocious or whatever?
Papa
He
G.
showed a couple flashes, I felt like, at the end of last season, and then in Summer League, it looked like he was just dog piss out there. I'm not sure what's going on there.
I
But
know.
they've
I
got
don't know
so
about
many
that.
of these big dudes. And then, I don't mind the, I guess I don't hate the Hill signing. I just don't want it to. I mean, they just, traded the farm for Buddy Hield, who hasn't looked that great in Summer League either, by the way.
Right.
But I mean, so now you, but you've got your young backcourt who are last year rookie and now another rookie, and then you sign Hield to this money, so he's gonna have to play major minutes. So it's kind of like, I understand the move, I don't hate the move, but to develop my young guys, I would have just let them rock and roll, but that's
Right,
just me.
I'm probably with you. I mean, if they got a Hill for 1 year at the
Yeah,
playoffs,
one
I'd
year,
take something. But
exactly.
two,
Why not give him one
yeah,
year and whatever he wants and then just
give him
quit?
what? Give him the max. Give him the
Right.
max for 1 year. What the hell, right? I mean, so I don't know. It's another team that just hasn't really picked a direction. And I guess you mentioned the Summer League. The one last thing I thought that stood in my mind is I watched Phoenix for a little bit because I'm not a big Josh Jackson guy,
Right.
especially for fantasy, but. Marquese Chriss looked horrible. He looked super out of weight, and he's supposed to be this
That's what
like
I heard.
freak athlete, and he looked like he put on like 20 pounds and not in a good way. Now, granted, they could easily, talk him, give him some shit, and get him back into shape, and wouldn't be worried. But he finished the season fairly well last year. You could see the upside, and I just hope it doesn't completely go to waste. I mean. It's one thing with Bender, who didn't look like a world beater, but he's still 19 years old. He was the youngest guy in that draft by far. He has the chance to be one of those defenders who can switch on everything. His feet can move. He can shoot the three. There's still a chance for him to be a solid starter. Chris, it just, I don't know, left a bad taste in my mouth because there were so many guys in Summer League who really impressed me. And he was one where, a second-year guy, a lot of these guys, like Exum, granted he's older, but that was because he blew out his knee. He played the one game and looked so good they didn't play him anymore. And there are other guys that were like that too. Chris was playing and just
Look,
looked like a
he's he
garbage.
played at UW Washington again. We keep
Right.
putting out all these NBA
Yeah, you probably
players,
saw
but
him. You
we
probably saw him more
but
than
yeah,
me.
we keep putting out all these NBA players, but can't even get close to competing in the Pac-12, which is shocking in itself. Although they finally fired the coach, even though I
Right.
mean, this guy's
Thank
like
God.
recruiting legend. Look out for
Right.
Arizona. Add him to the staff. That's a factory down there. But yeah, I mean, he just. He's just kind of one of those dudes you definitely don't see, like the mental intensity there, if you will. Like you just like I highly doubt he will ever become, like an all-star. Probably because just I don't
Yeah,
see
I
he
don't
doesn't
see it
have
either.
he has he can shoot. He's a freak athlete and all that, but he's just one of those dudes. If he gets it together, great. I still think he can be a will be a decent NBA player, but as far as is he going to bring it all together and become like some superstar, I don't think so. I'd like to see Bender, figure something out. The Suns have kind of
Well, this, I was going to say, they're like the perfect spot for fantasy
Right.
guys because they play so fast. And, you know, I'm a little lower on Booker than most people.
Yeah.
But
what happened
he's still,
to
he's still a very He's still a very good scorer. Like, I don't want to take anything away from him. But, yeah, Bledsoe, Jackson, the power forward minutes are wide open in for Chris or Benner.
They both should be. I mean, how those guys need to be. I mean, if they're not earning, like, 30 minutes apiece on that squad, it's like, okay, guys, like, maybe
right.
you'll
right.
be in summer league next year, too. I mean, come on,
right.
man.
Right, yeah, it's a tough situation for sure. Again, it's hard to judge how good anyone really is, any of these guys really are, because they're just so bad.
What's up with Brandon Knight? Can he go somewhere else, or can he like retire, or what's happening here?
He was like,
this guy was a good really player, good. You know.
Yeah, with the Bucks that
what's
year
going
until
on?
They traded him, and it just went to complete shit, man. I don't know.
Oh,
that
man.
Was so bizarre.
Good lord!
Maybe to be honest, if a team like the Knicks or Brooklyn, maybe Phoenix would give up a even if it was a second round pick. If you can get any asset with them just to take on the contract so Phoenix can get out of it, I would do it because, hell, he was a pretty good player for a while. And, yeah, it's three more years, but it's not like he's completely dead salary. There's a chance
right.
that he gets it back together and could be at least a decent sixth man, if not like
oh, yeah,
man,
Brooklyn.
Average.
Be like, yeah, no. throw in a first rounder. He's on.
Exactly.
We'll take him. Give us – We'll take whoever you want. Oh,
yeah.
And then, I mean, TJ Warren. So now they have Josh Jackson. I mean, they thought Warren was kind of the guy. He's not a great stretch player. He's a nice scorer. Jackson's not a great shooter either. I mean, it's kind of a strange roster. I mean, I do like some of these guys, but it's a weird mix here. Do you trade Bledsoe now? Well, he's kind of in his prime, at least as far as his age, because by the time any of these young guys develop, Bledsoe would probably be totally broken down, or you're not going to want to pay him again anyway.
Right. No, yeah, I would have moved him already.
Yeah.
The problem is now it's tougher to find a team.
Yeah.
Like I know the Jazz wanted to get a guy like him, but they end up getting Rubio instead. I just don't see what team really needs the point guard
right.
unless you send him to a team like the Knicks, but they don't want to block Tilikini even. Like, there's just so few teams around the league now that need a point guard that I just don't see the market. I don't see them getting even close to market value. So whether you want to just get something for them or keep them around, that's their call to make. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, a couple of years ago or even a year ago, I mean, this guy's like Russell Westbrook light kind of. I mean, he's got crazy ability, but I mean, it's just it's hard to gauge kind of, yeah, his value and where he would actually fit. But
right.
yeah, I've been droning on here long enough, but yeah, it was great talking as usual. I'm sure maybe went over a little bit time wise, but
that's
great
right.
info.
Nah, I mean,
I need to get it out
bit,
I need to get
fine.
It off my chest. I can't type on Twitter all day long. I can't talk to anybody else about this, so you've got to suffer the consequences.
All right, where can the people find you on Twitter? So they know.
Let me just make sure I got this right. I had to start a new Twitter account. I forget. I think I got locked out, or I think actually the reason I started is because this idiot politician in my area I used to work with or whatever basically had to abandon his whole campaign and burned 150K of his own money in the largest. he had to basically back out of running because this moron had his old like Twitter account up, and the liberal media found all this stuff, which he was dumb enough to leave open. I'm not running for politics or anything, but I've said some interesting weird things and throughout my past, and I just wanted to a fresh start here. So you know, my follower count is extremely low. Help me out, Uncle Daddy Tejo is the name.
Alrighty,
Uncle Daddy.
I'll put it in the description.
Uncle Daddy Tejo. It's a shout out to a character on the show I'm watching, Claus. His name's Uncle Daddy, and I thought it was a good fit.
All right, you can find me at RazBallViz on Twitter. Mention in the comments section if there's anything you want us to talk about next time. We might have one more podcast in August at some point, just to recap anything that's happened recently. Probably kick it into full gear around September once everyone's done with, you know, football drafts and are moving on to basketball, especially now that the season's starting about 2 weeks earlier than usual. So yeah, basketball.rasball.com. The post will be up. You know, if you're listening to this, I'm sure it has to be up on the website. So anything in the comment section you want us to talk about, you know, any suggestions, we're open to it. So just let us know.
Hit us up. We love talking to NBA. I'll also be on the I'm also kind of, I guess, second in command over in the football department. I think I'm recording with some of our interns tomorrow, maybe even for football. That's coming up, so I'll plug it there. I'll be plugging this, of course, with them and get that going. But yeah, it's been a pleasure.
All right. All right. Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'll be starting up hockey in August too.
Nice.
And. You know, Gray and Halp are rolling with baseball, and Halp and Ralph are doing prospects.
Shout out to Ralph. We reunited. We were in a bro fight for a couple months, but we're all good. Shout him out.
All right. Yeah, we're a couple weeks away to maybe a month away of everything at Razzball, all four sports coming together.
What a website.
Once, so.
What a website, huh? Oh, love it.
All right, so yeah, we'll probably tweet out at some point, you know, give people a heads up that we are going to record another podcast in a few weeks probably. But for now, thanks for listening, and, you know, take care. We'll talk to you all soon.